If I had to learn English from scratch, this is what I'd do. Hey up, mate. How's it going today? I'm not too bad. Thanks for asking and welcome to episode 42 of the Brit Speak Pod, where we're talking all about what I would do if I had to learn English from zero. But before we get into that, my name's Dan and I'm here to help you understand British life, British culture and, of course, British English. If you're new around here, nice to meet you, mate. Do me a favour, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast from. I'd appreciate that. And if you're not new around here, welcome back, mate. It's nice to see you again. So for me, starting a new language is a bit like going to the supermarket for the first time, right? You're going there to buy some ingredients to cook something for your tea. And tea, where I'm from in the north of England, is the evening meal, not the drink. But, you know, supermarket shelves are stacked full of loads of different products and you don't need all of them, right? You're just going to cook pasta for your dinner. There's not much point in spending time looking at cereal, you know? But if you play your cards right and you just pick out the best ingredients that you need for, you know, cooking pasta, you're going to be way more successful than if you just choose stuff at random and bang it all in a pan. So with that in mind, you've got to choose some suitable tools, right? There's loads of materials out there. Which ones are good? Which ones are bad? It's hard to say because everybody likes different things, but there's three tips that I would give you. The first is try and choose materials aimed at the level where you are. If you're a beginner, you don't want to be looking at intermediate stuff. You want to be focusing on stuff for beginners. So if I'm starting from zero, I'm looking for materials aimed at beginners, right? I'm also going to get a variety of different tools, right? If you think about a toolbox, you don't just have hammers. You've got hammers and screwdrivers and spanners and all these other things. So you're going to want to find a variety of different apps or platforms or books based on what you want to achieve and what you like doing. And the point of this is we're not trying to be perfect in the language from day one. Most of this stuff that we're doing at the beginning, you know, the materials aimed for beginners, is not actually about learning English. It's just getting familiar with the language. It's kind of like just dipping your toe in the water to see what it feels like. And that's the kind of mentality that you need to have. At this point, you're not even trying to learn the language. You're just trying to get familiar with it. And that's the kind of materials and tools that you need to get you through this stage. So after you've chosen all your favorite tools, the next step is to learn how to bloody use them. You know, you've got to work out the best way to use that thing. You know, imagine you're trying to build an house, right? You can go to Screwfix or whatever shop it is, and you can spend loads of money buying all the best tools, right? And all the best materials, yeah? But your house is still going to be shit if you don't know how to use them in the right way. There's no point trying to put a window together with an hammer, is there? You know, it's the wrong tool with the wrong material at the wrong time. So what you've got to do is really spend some time working out how to use the tools that you've chose. And the same thing, the same metaphor applies to English. So basically what I'm trying to say is you need to choose the right methods for your study time, yeah? And for me, the thing that I would recommend above all else at the beginner level is sentence-based learning. Don't learn vocabulary on its own. It's pointless. You need to learn the sentence, not the actual individual words, right? And what I would say is don't focus on understanding exactly 100% of that sentence. You don't need to understand every single grammatical point. You don't need to understand every single word and how it's conjugated and how it interacts with everything else in the sentence. We're just trying to focus on, do I understand what this sentence is trying to say? Can I understand the idea, you know? And we're going to pick up new words naturally while we're doing this because we're studying the sentence, we're trying to understand. So obviously, we've got to pick out these words as we're going along. And at this stage, people get proper overwhelmed because they want to understand 100% of everything. Just naturally, as humans, we want to understand 100%. We do it in our own language, so why can't we do it in a second language? Because you're just starting, mate. Give yourself a break. Don't worry about what you don't understand. Focus on what you do understand. And the more you do it, the more stuff you'll understand, so don't worry about that kind of stuff yet. It takes time, but you've got to start here. So sentence-based learning, learning full sentences, you know, that kind of thing, is probably the best thing you can do when you're starting out. And even intermediate level, you shouldn't really be learning vocabulary on its own. You should be learning it as part of a wider sentence. Right, next up, I want you to imagine that you're some kind of athlete, a runner or something, and you're training to go and do a marathon or something like that, yeah? So you don't just go from zero to marathon, do you? It's not going to work. You've got to kind of build up to it. Like a runner, yeah? They're going to do loads of different kinds of training. They're going to do strength training, endurance training, long distance running training. And gradually, over time, they're going to increase the amount. You know, they're going to increase the pace. They're going to increase the distance. They're going to increase the weight that they're lifting. And you should kind of approach English in the same way. So that leads me on to the third thing, which is practice and progression. At this stage, you need both of these things. But there's kind of three tips I've got for you in order to do this effectively, right? The first is you've got to build a routine. It's not going to happen by accident. A runner is not just going to walk down the street and then be like, oh, look, there's a weight on the floor. I should lift that. It don't happen by accident. It don't just run into English practice. You've got to set time in your schedule and actually plan it and do it, right? So you've got to build some kind of study routine. You know, there's loads of different ways to do it. It depends on what you're trying to do, but you've got to have that routine, right? Another mistake that people make is they set their routine, but then they do the same thing for the same amount of time every single day. You know, they spend half an hour writing down new vocabulary every single day. That's not going to work. I mean, you're going to learn some words, but you're just going to forget some words and you're going to get bored of it. And your brain eventually is going to be like, mate, this is boring. Can we do something else, please? So you've really got to make sure that you're interacting with English in lots of different ways. You've got to really vary your practice methods. You know, spend some time listening, some time reading, some time picking out new words. You know, whatever it is that you're doing, you've got to mix it up. But you've got to do a lot. Not a lot, but you've got to do it every day, you know. You've got to spend some time every day doing something in English if you want to get better. And the other mistake that people make at this stage is they like, okay, I understand a basic sentence. Let me get a newspaper. Like, it doesn't work like that. You don't go from running 100 meters to running a marathon. It's not the same thing. You have to build up to it. So what you should be looking at this stage is gradually getting more complex. You're starting with basic sentences, you know, football, up to, yeah, football is a very good sport. You know, you're kind of building that gradual complexity as you go along. So try to always go like one step further than what you're comfortable with, rather than 100 steps further and then getting frustrated because you can't do it. Okay, so next, I want you to imagine that you're learning to swim, right? Do you know what the best environment for learning to swim is? It's in the bloody water, mate. Of course it is. There's not much point trying to learn to swim on a football field, is there? It's not going to work. You need to be in the water as much as possible if you want to be a good swimmer, right? And you can probably see how that might apply to learning English. Not that you should learn English in your swimming pool, but I think you get what I mean. And the point of all this is immersion. This is a word you'll hear all the time if you spend any time researching learning languages online. And basically what it means is to spend as much time as possible surrounded by the language that you're trying to learn. Now, a long time ago, that used to be really difficult because unless you went to that country, you couldn't really surround yourself with the language. But there were this thing that were invented, and you might have heard of it. It's called the internet, and it's pretty good. It gives you access to everything ever right there in the little smartphone thing in your hand. So what you need to do is start trying to surround yourself with English media. This can be podcasts, it can be music, it can be videos, it can be films, it can be books, it can be magazines, blog posts, anything. Anything that you can get your hands on in English, surround yourself with that kind of stuff as much as you can. And what I would also suggest is once you've got the basics down, you know, you've been doing your sentence studies for a while and you're slowly getting more complex and you're doing all your different kinds of practice that you've been doing so far, what I want you to do is start seeking out materials that are designed for native speakers. Now, when you do this, you're going to not understand a lot of what's going on. maybe you'll only understand 10%. But that's not what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to understand 100% at this stage. The point is, we're surrounding ourselves with the language. And you want to start getting native level input. You want to be surrounding yourself with native materials. So that way you're not picking up any bad habits and you're picking up how the language is actually used in real life. Because we all know those conversations in your textbooks between Mr. Smith and Mr. Green don't exist in the real world. They're just made up for a textbook. However, if you're watching a TV show that's made for native speakers, there's going to be some genuine stuff in there. And your brain is going to kind of act like a sponge and absorb some of that stuff. Some of it you'll know, some of it you won't know. Doesn't really matter. Your brain is just trying to get as much in as it can. Just like spending a lot of time in the swimming pool is good for your body to get used to the water so you can get better at swimming. Spending your time surrounded by English, even if you don't really know what's going on, is good for your brain to get used to English, right? So those are the things that I would suggest at that stage. So now I want you to imagine that you and some good mates, you're going to spend the weekend and you're going on a road trip. You know, you're all going to get in the car and you're going to go for a drive. Now, usually when this happens, you've got some kind of end goal in mind. You're not just driving in a random direction, but it's going to be a proper boring adventure if you just go from where you started to the goal in the shortest time possible. We're just going straight on the motorway, just nothing to look at. We're just going to get straight to the destination, right? Pretty boring, if you ask me. A big part of road trips is discovering new things along the way. Like you spot something, oh, let's go see what that is. Or, oh, Google says there's a nice restaurant. Let's go and have a look at that. And you kind of discover these new things along the way. And that's kind of the point, isn't it? It's not about just going to the place. It's the journey. The journey is important. And the more you follow your curiosity in that situation, the more you're going to enjoy that experience, right? And I think the same thing applies here. So the next thing I would suggest is to build curiosity about English, right? I want you to try new things in the language that you're learning. So maybe this can be like online forums, or it can be language exchange groups, or it can be some kind of community that communicates in English, whatever it is. Get outside your comfort zone and spend more time doing new things in English, because that's naturally going to lead to things that you didn't even know existed. And that's going to be fun, right? And I want you to also try and notice what you don't know and then discover more about that. If somebody says something and you're like, oh, I get what they mean, but I've never heard that expression before, go and do a bit of research about that expression. That kind of curiosity to go and learn a little bit more will help you so much more than doing grammar drills for the 50th day in a row. And you should also try and seek clarification, especially about grammar usage and vocab usage at this stage, because it can be very easy to start making mistakes and building bad habits. So doing that is terrible. If you can get a bit of clarification, whether it's from Google searches, searching about the thing that you're struggling with, or use ChatGPT, ask ChatGPT if you're doing it wrong. Or, you know, if you're in a situation, find a teacher or a tutor or something like that that can point you in the right direction. Oh, and on a side note, if you are looking for a tutor, I'm your guy. Britspeak.com/services. Check out my private lessons. But that's not the point of this. Just a side note. And I think these five things that I've mentioned in today's video are vital. And they are the first five steps that you should take if you're learning a language. Now, even if you're an intermediate or advanced learner, a lot of this stuff should still apply. Maybe to get you back on the road to progress and get you building your motivation again. But I'd love to know what you think about this. You know, have I missed anything out? What would you do differently? Let me know. But that's it for this one, and I'll catch you in the next one. See you there.